Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Great job. Thank you for that reminder of God's amazing grace. Where would we be if it were not for God's grace? Well, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I'm honored to be filling in for Dr. May this evening, and I'll actually be filling in tonight and the next two Wednesday nights, the three Wednesday night services in November, and of course the fourth Wednesday we won't be having service, of course, because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So I prayed about it, and I'm going to be just giving a series, or three independent messages with a theme of Thanksgiving. So tonight we're going to look at a story I'm sure you're familiar with, Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his feet, on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to open your word. And I just pray that you give me the words to say. I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. And I claim Isaiah 55:11, once again, as your word goes forth, I pray that it would not return void, but accomplish what pleases you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. In Enterprise, Alabama, there is a monument put up in honor of an insect. This monument is in honor of the Mexican boll weevil. You see, in 1895, the boll weevil began to destroy all the cotton, which was the largest money-making crop in Coffee County, Alabama. Out of desperation, and in order to survive, the farmers had to diversify. By 1919, the county's peanut crop was many times more valuable than cotton, even at the height of the cotton industry. As a result of the success and prosperity brought about by this change, a monument to honor the Mexican boll weevil was built. And at that monument, this inscription was written: "In profound appreciation of the boll weevil and what it has done as the herald of prosperity, this monument was erected by the citizens of Enterprise, Coffee County, Alabama." Sometimes in life, it is the worst adversity that through which we receive the greatest blessing. Oftentimes, out of struggles and sadness, out of personal crisis and problems, can come new spiritual growth and our highest level of personal success. That is certainly the case with these 10 men that we see here in this story. 10 men with an incurable disease, death sentence, and they're all recipients of an amazing miracle. But only one man said thank you. All 10 men received the same miracle, but none of those men were too busy or too ungrateful to take the time to return to Jesus and give him thanks. One out of the 10 took the time to say thank you after this healing miracle. So the title of our lesson this evening, taking the time to say thank you. Taking the time to say thank you. Notice three things here in this passage. First of all, let's talk about the leper's condition. The leper's condition. Look at verse 12. Notice what it says. It says, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. So we know at this point in Scripture, Jesus is well into his earthly ministry. Jesus is traveling around with his disciples and followers, and he's teaching and preaching to the crowds of people. Luke says here that Jesus approaches a certain village. He doesn't tell us specifically which village it is, but he says Jesus is approaching this village, and as he does, there are 10 men gathered together outside this particular village. I want us to look at three characteristics of these 10 men, three common things that we see with these 10 men. First of all, we notice, obviously, their disease. Notice the disease. It says in Scripture here that these 10 were lepers. We know, of course, that in Bible times, leprosy was a skin disease that started out as small sores, and it would spread all over the body. A person who had leprosy would have sores and scabs all over the body, and these white spots would cover their body. And so we see these men in this condition. They were diseased. They had this incurable disease called leprosy. We also see something else here that's common among these 10 men. Not only do we see the disease, but we see the disconnect. The disconnect. Notice it says these 10 men stood afar off. You see, leprosy was very, very contagious. Lepers were forced to live outside the village or the town where they lived. They were outcasts. They were forced to be removed from society. No longer could they live with their own family. No longer could they live in their own home. The Old Testament law said that they were forbidden from going into the temple to worship. And so we see here they were totally isolated, totally cut off from other people. You know, I thought about how we all have our modern day ways of communicating and staying connected. We have our cell phones, and of course with your cell phone you can call other people, and you can also text, and there's Facebook, and there's Instagram, and TikTok, and all these other ways of staying connected, almost an endless number of ways for us to stay connected. But lepers, these lepers in Jesus' day were totally and completely cut off from the rest of society. They were declared unclean, and as I said, according to the Old Testament law, not allowed to have a connection with anyone else. So we see here these 10 men, we see their disease, we see their disconnect, and notice thirdly, we see that they are doomed. Leprosy was an incurable disease, and it would lead ultimately to death. Leprosy was basically a death sentence. Leprosy, the lepers who had this disease, this leprosy disease, They were destined to die as a result. They had no hope and no future. Listen, understand this, that you and I, before we were saved, we were much like these 10 lepers. You and I were born into this world with a disease, a sin disease. Because of that sin disease, we're disconnected from the Lord God of the universe. Because of that sin disease, we're cut off. We're totally separated from God. And yes, because of that sin disease we were born with, we were doomed to die and spend eternity in a devil's hell. I'm sure all of you have probably heard of Elon Musk. Elon Musk, a couple of months ago, or just recently, he was declared to be the richest man in the world. His net worth is $310 billion with a B dollars. And he was recently in the news, just a couple of days ago, this story came out. Elon Musk, and he was willing to give or donate $6 billion of his own money to help solve world hunger. And he was actually responding to a statement made by a leader in the United Nations. A man by the name of David Beasley said this. David Beasley is the director of the United Nations World Food Program. And he said that $6 billion, he made the statement that he thought the billionaires of the world should get together and donate money to equal $6 billion. And if they would do that, the $6 billion would feed 42 million people in the world who were, quote, literally going to die if we don't reach them. And so Elon Musk responded on Twitter. And he said, look, United Nations, if you can prove that, if you can put that on paper and show me the numbers, I'll give you the $6 billion. But as of yet, the United Nations hadn't taken him up on that challenge. But listen, $6 billion may or may not feed 42 million people, but all the billionaires in the world could donate every bit of their money and put it all together, and it couldn't solve the sin problem of one person. We're all born into this world as sinners, and I want us to get and understand the seriousness and the severity of our sin disease that we were born with. Because it, apart from the finished work of Jesus Christ and the grace of God, there is no cure for that sin disease. Amen? It is only by the shed blood of Jesus that we can be saved and cured and healed from that sin disease. Listen, what I want us to understand here in this first point is that we need to really understand the bad news so we can appreciate and be more thankful for the good news. Amen? So we see here, first of all, we see the leper's condition. But now, number two, notice the leper's cry. The leper's cry, verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy. As Jesus is about to enter this village, 10 lepers standing outside at a distance and call out, cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These lepers understood they were completely helpless and hopeless because of this deadly disease. They understood that their only hope was in Jesus. They realized and recognized the power and the authority of Jesus, and they cry out to him. Listen, my Wednesday night friends, listen, in our modern world, as modern day Christians, we also need to recognize and acknowledge and appropriate the power and the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Y'all don't hear me this evening. I ain't preached in a while, so I'm going to let it rip, if that's all right. Listen, remember, Jesus said in Matthew 28, what I call that pre-Great Commission, verse. Sometimes we skip over verse 18, amen? Verse 18, Jesus said what? Some authority has been given to me. Is that what he said? Come on. No, Jesus said, all authority. Listen, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. A declaration of his authority to his people. We see several other references in Scripture to the authority and the power of Jesus. We see in Matthew 7, Jesus had just finished teaching the Sermon on the Mount, and in verse 28, it says this. Let me just read it to you. You don't have to turn there. We're going to go through several here. The people said, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. You see, Jesus was in, when he was in his earthly ministry, Jesus went around teaching and preaching truth. But Jesus, he didn't have to rely on Bible commentary. He didn't have to look up things in his Bible dictionary. And when Jesus preached, he didn't have to present and cite a bibliography to show his sources. Jesus had the ability and the authority himself and the power to preach truth. And then we see in Matthew 9, we see where Jesus heals the paralyzed man and forgives his sin. And then it says that, or Jesus himself said, that he has the power on earth to forgive sin. Then in Mark chapter 1, Jesus taught in the synagogue once again. In verse 22, the people, it says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. But it gets better. Listen to this. Verse 26, Jesus cast out a demon of a man who was demon-possessed. And verse 27 says, they were all amazed, for with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. The authority of Jesus. He has the authority to cast out demons and unclean spirits. He has the authority to preach and teach truth that originates with him. He has the authority to forgive sin. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. J. Vernon McGee was a pastor and theologian and well-known commentator. Found commentary that he made in reference to the book of Judges, and this is what he said. This is his words. He said, right before World War II, the city of Pasadena was having its annual Rose Parade. The float that was entered by the Standard Oil Company was covered with American Beauty roses. It was a sight to behold. The theme of the parade was be prepared. Right in the middle of the parade, the Standard Oil Company's float ran out of gas. It stopped right in front of me. I couldn't help but laugh. If there was one float that should have not ran out of gas, it was that one. Standard Oil Company should have plenty of gas. As I looked at that float, I saw a picture of many Christians today. They are beautiful, but they have no power. Have no power in their lives. They have beauty and prestige, but no power. Listen, Wednesday night friends, we have the power of God available to each and every one of us. We have a Savior that gave his life for our sins. And we asked him into our heart to be our Lord and Savior. and he has all authority in heaven and in earth. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus himself said that you will receive what? Power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Listen, the power of God is available to every one of us, but it's not automatic. We have to live Christ-like lives. We have to be obedient to his word. We have to strive to be like Jesus, and we need to appropriate that Holy Ghost power that's available to us. Let's take advantage of that power that God has for his people. So, must move on. Notice we see the leper's condition. Number two, we see the leper's cry. Number three, lastly, we see the leper's celebration. Verse 14 and 15. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. It's interesting here. Jesus instructed these men. They cried out to him, and he instructed these 10 men, go to the priest. You see, the priest was the only person that could declare a leper clean, or anyone else that had been declared unclean. The priest was the only one that could declare them clean, and that would allow or enable that person to re-enter society. So these 10 lepers, they started on their journey to go find the priest. And as they do, in obedience to Jesus' command, they're healed. An amazing miracle in the lives of these 10 men. But out of the 10 who were healed and recipients of this miracle, only one returned to give Jesus thanks. Let's look at this again. I want us to notice something. Look at it. Look at verse 15. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet. Notice this, giving him thanks. I want us to notice a couple of things here about this one leper that returned to Jesus. First of all, we see his perception. His perception. In verse 15, we see that word saw. It says, when he saw that he was healed, and that's significant because in the original Greek language, that word saw means to come to an understanding. It means to perceive in a new way. This one leper, he understood, he took notice of the difference. His attitude was changed. He realized that it was Jesus who had performed this amazing miracle in his life. Listen to me real quick. Listen, let's make sure we always take notice of the difference that Jesus makes in our life. But we see here not only the perception, notice his priority. It says here that this leper returned. The others wanted to go back home. They wanted to get back to town. They wanted to see their family. But this man knew the importance of taking this time to say thank you. He understood that it was necessary for him to return to Jesus and give thanks. It says here, I thought it was very interesting. I love this. I don't know that I had seen this before. But it says as a result of him returning and giving thanks that he glorified God. I love that concept that you and I as believers, our overall umbrella purpose in life is to glorify God. Now we're all called to do more special and unique things in service to God. But generally speaking, our purpose is to glorify God. Our purpose in life answers the question, why am I here? What are we all here for? The answer is to glorify God. And it is significant here because there are many ways that we glorify God. We see in Scripture the examples, but right here, a leper who was healed went back and took time to give thanks. And he says, as a result, through that giving of thanks, it glorified God. That's an important thing in life, isn't it? We need to be sure that we give thanks, because by being thankful and giving God praise and being grateful, that's how we glorify him. We don't want to be like the other nine. Jesus said, where are the nine? They were ungrateful. They dishonored God. They failed to give thanks. Got to wrap this up, but listen. Let's make praising God a priority. Let's be like the one who understood the importance of what Jesus had done in his life. And he gave him thanks. I'm sure probably most of you here tonight watched the Game 6 of the World Series last night and saw the Braves win that game and become World Series champions. And we watched that game at our house last night and actually watched the post-game show as well. And right after the game, when they were still on the field, there was reporters interviewing the players. And one of the reporters interviewed Dansby Swanson, the starting shortstop for the Braves. And Dansby Swanson is actually he's a local boy. He was born and raised in Cobb County in the Marietta and Kennesaw area and was traded to the Braves several years ago. And a very good athlete, been a very good addition to the team. And he's also a Christian. Oftentimes, I've seen him in interviews and read things about him, you know, he'll acknowledge his faith. But he was being interviewed last night and talking about, you know, the thrill of winning the World Series. And he said, he's talking about the fact that he's getting to play for his own hometown team. And the benefits of that. He said, you know, I'm just so glad that my own family gets to watch me play, and got to see him last night, hit that home run, and just all the benefits that goes along with playing for a team that he grew up just a few miles up the road. And he said, you know, he's glad that his girlfriend was able to see him play and all these things and play close to home and so on and so forth. And he said this. And he said, and I thank the Lord, because if it wasn't for him, I would not be here. It's always encouraging to see athletes acknowledge their faith and give testimony like that. But I want to say this. Thanksgiving is coming up in a few weeks, but let's make sure we give thanks to our Lord every day. Because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here. Amen. If it wasn't for him, we'd still be lost and on our way to hell. Born into this world with a sin disease. But he has performed an amazing miracle. Let's make sure we continually give him thanks and praise. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together this evening, Lord, and the opportunity to open your word, God. Thank you for this story, this great story in your word. We see this great example from this one leper who was healed by the authority and the power of Jesus. May we not lose sight of the fact that we have been healed. We've been saved, healed from a sin disease. Know you in a personal way. Got a guaranteed home in heaven. We have have you, Jesus as our Savior, the one who has all authority and power in heaven and in earth. Help us to be a thankful people. May we never be like the nine that just went on their way, went on their merry way without even taking time to give thanks. We're so thankful for who you are and what you stand for and what you've done for us. We give you praise and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.